And good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 86. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Although it's a bit chilly actually right now. I don't know how beautiful it is today. Today is just one of those sort of gray and overcast spring days when everything is just sort of, just feels damp. You know what I mean? It just kind of drippy and wet, not really rainy, but yeah, just a normal Chicago spring day. But we don't have a lot like this one. Normally, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain, and if it's going to be clear, it's going to be clear, and today is just sort of dark and drizzly, but, you know, that's okay. Different strokes for different folks, as they say, and I like all kinds of weather, but, of course, I didn't get to walk today, so that's not good. Before I get started with the sort of meat of the show today, I just wanted to plug the live show. The live show has been rather silly and rather madcap, which is kind of interesting. Very much a different show from this one. And, of course, serious topics are also welcome over there. But it has been extremely silly over the last couple of weeks and a whole lot of fun. So feel free to tune in and, indeed, Skype in. And you can listen at unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time, which is 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So you can Skype into that show at United Kingdom Radio, and I will be able to see that. This upcoming show is our Irish special, so don't miss that. Also, a quick shout-out here to Michael Moss from the Post-it Cast. Now, Michael is also involved in another project that I'm involved in called Plain Dudes Radio. And we are both involved in that together. And Michael actually featured part of my episode number 85 on his Post-it Cast the other day. So feel free to check that out. I believe it's postitcast.mevio.com. And you can hear Michael's thoughts on some of the ideas that I present in Tom Harris USA episode number 85. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that later. So this has been shaping up to be quite the busy week, and I've just had all kinds of stuff going on. And, of course, the show added into that, which doesn't make it any easier, really. But, you know, hey, that's just what part of being busy is. I just don't want to get to a point where I'm just sort of overwhelmed by everything like Chris Reardon has been and end up having to, kind of curtail the things that I do because I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that to you guys as much as you might appreciate that. ASEN is this weekend, the Anime Central Convention out in Rosemont. And indeed, this is going to be a very busy weekend for Pete and I. Starting on Friday, we're going to go out to the convention on Friday evening and stay there for the Midnight Madness and the Anime Hell segments of the convention. And that will get us done about 3 o'clock in the morning at 10 a.m. On Saturday morning, I have the live show, and hopefully I'll be able to wake up in the morning for that. And then right back to the convention again after that show is done. So that is going to be a very busy weekend, but I don't know if we're going to go out there Sunday or not. It's one of those things. You know, we got our cheap passes that we got over at C2E2. And so that is going to just kind of be the determiner, I think, what's going on Sunday, how tired we are from hanging out all day Saturday and most of the day Friday at the convention. But I'm looking forward to it. I believe I talked about this way, way back, probably Tom Harris USA episode 3 or thereabouts, because I know I was talking a little bit about that sort of thing early on in the show. But it is quite literally acres and acres of stuff that nobody needs. And I'm hoping that I get away from ASEN pretty cheaply as in not having to buy, you know, a lot of stuff. Of course, I didn't buy anything last time. I got just a couple of volumes of anime and not anime, I'm sorry, a couple of volumes of manga, and that's pretty much it. So, but I am looking forward to it because the anime crowd is, I think, more enthusiastic about their fandom than the comics crowd is. I think the comics crowd, you just kind of get a broad general section of people and, you know, they get some passionate fans and some people who dress up and that. But anime fans are absolutely bonkers. And I think that's really, to me, part of what makes the anime convention fun is that, you know, their enthusiasm, and they, you know, a lot of people dress up. You know, there were a few people at C2E2 who dressed up. We saw a number of people who were in costume. But at the anime convention, it seems like every other person. I mean, it literally is a very sizable percentage of the people who are attending are in costume. And of course, Pete and I don't, generally. Who knows? Maybe we will someday. But it isn't going to happen this year. Of course, the main reason why I don't do cosplay, it's not because I wouldn't do such a thing, because, you know, I'm not entirely against the idea. If it adds to the fun of the convention and having people, you know, want to take your picture or whatever. It's, I think, more for me, a lack of time to actually devote to making a costume. And some of these costumes are pretty elaborate and really well done. But also the lack of characters in anime who actually look anything like me. I don't think that there are very many, you know, middle-aged guys with beards appearing in anime and manga these days. So anyway, that would be the main reason why I wouldn't. But who knows? You know, maybe in some future anime convention I will. And of course, another aspect of this is that there are already a lot of people who are dressed up in really inappropriate costumes. And I'm sure that a lot of them do it for reasons of irony or just, you know, for humor or whatever. I mean, the head of security for ASEN is this guy called Sailor Bubba, who's this something like 300-pound, 350-pound guy who dresses up as Sailor Moon. So you never know. But you know, I don't think I would want to be that much of an idiot and dress, make that much of a fool out of myself. So anyway, I have some interesting news here. Now, this is something that was brought to my attention by none other than my boyfriend Pete, who had heard me talking a little bit about Sylvia Brown on my last show. And he actually forwarded to me this news article. It's not really a news article. It's a webpage article from a site that actually looks at infomercials. And apparently, Sylvia Brown, who's supposedly this world-renowned psychic, has a new job. And you'll never guess what she's doing. She's selling blenders. Yes, she is teamed up with her old boss, Montel Williams. Now, those of you who are not in the U.S. might not know who Montel Williams is. He's a little bit like Jeremy Kyle over in the U.K., or if you're familiar with Jerry Springer, you know, it's that sort of show. Now, Montel got canceled a couple of years ago, and I imagine that since then, Sylvia Brown has actually suffered from a lack of promotion on television. She's not in the public eye for any good reason these days. Oh, it's obviously, it's because she's a fraud. I mean, she's a scammer and everybody knows it now. And the only way she was getting attention on TV was because Montel Williams was putting her on his show. So anyway, Montel now is selling his Health Master blender. Well, he doesn't call it a blender. He calls it a food emulsifier, but it's a blender. And has roped Sylvia Brown into appearing on his hour-long infomercial, which is sort of disguised as a Montel Williams episode, and has made a pretty much a complete idiot out of himself in the process. Now, Sylvia Brown appears on this infomercial, and she does these so-called psychic predictions for members of the so-called audience. Now, I'm not sure, because, you know, I've done enough, you know, little acting gigs here and there that I know that a lot of these things are staffed by paid extras. You know, they don't really act, but they're there because they're extras. And so I have a feeling that this infomercial for the blender is scripted. But you have Sylvia Brown suggesting that people can avoid death by buying this blender. And she does this sort of fakey psychic predictions. I kind of wonder if this thing is on YouTube, because I don't have the patience to watch it. But it's interesting that apparently the psychic business has gotten so bad for Sylvia that she's reduced to selling blenders on, you know, the Home Shopping Network or something, which, I mean, that can only be good news for the rest of us. Because trust me, I mean, we don't want her actually being in the so-called psychic game with her dismal track record. You know, my track record as a psychic, as a so-called psychic, is much better than hers. You know, as I've talked about in this program before, I made my 10 psychic predictions back last year, and so far 8 of the 10 have come true. So, you know, my record is head and shoulders way above and beyond the accuracy rate of Sylvia Brown. And I have absolutely no psychic powers whatsoever. You know, it's in my world, it's called educated guesses. So, of course, many thanks to Pete for bringing this to my attention, because, of course, I don't watch television. And that was something that was kind of a surprise to me. And I can only hope that, you know, Sylvia learns that she can make more money selling blenders than she can in the so-called psychic game. I mean, that would be a win-win situation for Sylvia and for us. So hopefully she can just go away and we can have it done with. Now, I do need to kind of disclaim myself here at this point, because I made an error, and actually it was just me being careless. I have no one to blame but myself. But when I was listening back to Michael Moss's Post-it Cast, where he was quoting my show, I phrased something really badly, and it made it sound as though I meant something completely different from what I actually thought I was saying. And listening back to it, I said, yep, that's not what I was meant, but that is what I said. So I do wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit here, back to Tom Harris USA 85. Now, what I was talking about was kind of in the general context of this conversation that I was having with Gary Burton. And we were talking a little bit about the Paul Edwards Show, and he had this guy, Dennis Binks, on his show. Now, Dennis Binks, interestingly enough, for a clairvoyant, he doesn't have a lot of his predictions out there. In fact, I couldn't find any of his psychic predictions on the internet. Whether or not he ever publishes them, I don't know. Usually when you find a psychic doesn't publish the results or publish their predictions, that usually means that none of them came true, and they're a little bit embarrassed by that. But, one of the things I was talking about is psychics putting disclaimers on their web pages. And this is something that virtually all psychics do. In fact, every one that I ever look at generally does. And I've looked at quite a few. But in the general category I was talking about spiritualist churches. Now, generally these spiritualist churches are led by a particular psychic. Now, Gary did actually tell me that Dennis was in charge of one of these spiritualist churches, and I kind of took him at his word, and I don't know how wise that was, but I'm going to just kind of assume for the moment that Gary was telling the truth. But what I said was that these psychics do generally have a disclaimer on their site saying that this site is to be used for entertainment purposes only. And indeed, if you go to Dennis Binks' website, you scroll all the way down to the bottom, and there is, in tiny lettering, a disclaimer saying that his site is to be used for entertainment purposes only. Now, the way I said it in the course of my show made it sound as though I was saying that the spiritualist churches put a disclaimer on their site. Now, I don't know that to be true. In fact, I doubt that that's true. However, it is true that most psychics, the individual psychics, including those who do lead these spiritualist churches, do disclaim on their site. So I just wanted to clarify that, because it could lead to some confusion. And I don't want to be taken out of context and, you know, said, well, you said that spiritualist churches disclaim. You know, well, you know, that isn't necessarily true. And I do completely take the blame for being wrong on that, if that is the case. Now, if they do disclaim, then I guess I really technically wasn't wrong. But that isn't what I was trying to say. So I just wanted to get that very clear. However, my overall message that I was trying to bring across in the last show still stands. Whether they disclaim or not, the end result is still bullshit, and it's still a scam. Whether it's your psychic who, you know, has a sincere but delusional belief that they're actually out helping people, or whether it's a spiritualist church that exists solely for the purpose of making money, it doesn't matter. They're still out for the same thing. They're out to make a buck. And, you know, maybe they don't charge $700 for a reading like Sylvia Brown does. You know, maybe they charge $50 for a reading. Or even less. It doesn't matter. The amount of money is not what matters here. That what really matters is they're not providing a service that has any value. In a previous show, we talked a bit about perceived value and whether or not people are happy with what they get. But it's almost irrelevant here because it doesn't really make any sense outside of the context of people thinking that they got their money's worth of entertainment. Because after all, you're not purchasing anything concrete. You're just, it's, and I often put it this way, expensive commiseration. And especially in the case of mediums who sort of prey on the bereaved. You know, they use the bereaved and their mourning process to make a buck. And really all they're offering in return is this cold reading. You know, this idea you're just throwing stuff out there until something resonates with the person who's paying for the session. Or as my acting coach would have said, throwing bullshit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it seems to me that a lot of this, and I don't just mean psychics, but a lot of the things that I talk about on this program, just, you know, the psychic phenomenon, you know, the paranormal people, religion in general, Christianity in particular, the conspiracy theorists, the social conservatives who want to kind of turn back time, a lot of the stuff that I've talked about on the show kind of is sold in the same way. By appealing to people's grief or by appealing to people's fear. Fear really comes down to the bottom line in a lot of these things. And especially in the conspiracy theorist thing. Fear has a lot to do with it. The loss of power. And I've talked about this before. I talked about this in the Plain Dudes radio show that I did on conspiracy theorists, which I definitely recommend that people go and download if you haven't yet. A lot of people have. It's one of the most listened to shows on my RSS stream. But this whole idea of the conspiracy theorists, of course, you want to set up a scapegoat to explain why you personally have not become rich and famous. I mean, that seems like maybe a very simplistic argument, but you see, oh, I have problems in my life. Somebody in my family might have an illness, or, you know, I've always been poor, I can't get ahead. And you come up with these sort of strange ideas of why this hasn't happened. And you have to find somebody to blame. That's the way the human mind works. And of course, the conspiracy theorists and religionists and supernaturalists, they all want to take advantage of that in one way or the other. Religion will tell you that you're in bad straits because you're not holy enough. So you need to get back to God. And how do you get back to God? It's by joining them. You know, the psychics might tell you that, you know, I'll tell you why for $50 an hour. The conspiracy theorists might tell you it has to do with the liberal conspiracy or the Jews or the Illuminati. You know, all these things are designed to be scapegoats for people's lack of achievement on their own. Why are you being kept down? Well, it's all the fault of that other group of people who we don't like. Politics does it all the time. We've got a problem in this country right now with joblessness. So where do people put their anger? Where do the people direct their fear? At illegal aliens who really account for very little of this problem. You know, you want to make people suspicious of authority and make them fearful. And that makes it easier for you to present your message. Can you think of maybe some times in recent history in the United States where that has become extremely widespread? Tea Party movement, anybody? The drumbeat to the Iraq War? playing on people's fear to sell a product that really doesn't have a lot of value outside of controlling people's behavior. Now, in the case of a telephone psychic or whatever, the medium, you know, their goal is money. In the case of a politician, maybe their goal is power or votes, which leads to power. And what about the conspiracy theorists? Well, they play on people's fears to proselytize their religion, because let's face it, you know, these conspiracy theorists, this conspiracy theorist thing is a lot like a religion. You have your articles of faith that a lot of these people adhere to. Like religion, you have to take a lot of this conspiracy theory stuff on faith. The lack of evidence is cited as proof that the conspiracy actually exists. Evidence that contradicts the conspiracy theory is ignored or demonized as being a tool of the people who are keeping you down. Religion does much the same thing. Now, speaking of conspiracy theorists, I had a conversation last Sunday, and this was right after Mikey Holt's show. Now, Mikey Holt is another podcaster, and you've heard him on my live show, perhaps. He does a podcast called No Holt's Barred, which airs on Sundays at 7 p.m. UK time, so it'd be 1 in the afternoon my time. And Mikey has a wide range of callers on his show, and sometimes it's more interesting than other times. But I've been on for the last couple of weeks in a row now. And another couple guests on the show, I guess, are, you know, somewhat regular on his program. And one of the two guys who had called in is a well-known sort of talk radio caller in the UK, a guy from Northern Ireland. His name is Sizemorg, or he goes by that nick. Now, Sizemorg is one of these people who believes almost every single conspiracy theory that comes his way. And it's sort of the definition of a paranoid conspiracy theorist. It's funny, you know, because after the show, after Mikey had stopped his show, he sat there on Skype and was chatting with these guys about these various conspiracy theories, and I couldn't help but laugh, and openly laugh at them, the ridiculous things they're saying. I mean, they're invoking things like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, you know, the well-known forgery that goes back a few decades. I mean, they're promoting these ideas that a lot of cases go back to the turn of the last century. You know, this anti-Jewish, anti-Masonic sort of viewpoint. And this is the stuff that Sizemorg and his friends are trying to communicate to the world. And I've talked about conspiracy theories on the show before, and also on Plain Dudes Radio. I don't feel I need to really rehash it. But it really, a lot of it comes down to fear. Fear authority. Fear the government. They are trying to kill you. They're trying to spray chemicals on you from airplanes and kill everybody. And of course, the question I always come to is, well, why do that? What do they gain from killing everybody? They really don't gain anything. If your goal is to rule the world, why kill everybody? That doesn't make any sense. They really don't gain anything from killing us all. So why do people believe this stuff? And as with the psychics, a lot of it has to do with people who have an emotional need to believe in irrational things. And it was never more evident. I was talking with these two gentlemen after Mikey's show, and I think some of it was recorded, but I don't know how much. I don't think I stuck around all that long once Mikey started recording it again. However, it was funny because when I was talking about conspiracy theories on the Plain Dudes Radio episode that I put together, I made a list. I made a list of the sort of the 10 main characteristics of how you can tell a conspiracy theorist. And they fit 3/4 of these, just like textbook match. They had this arrogance, the arrogance of, well, only we know the truth. Only those of us who hang out on these particular websites really know what's going on in the world. It's being hidden from everyone else. You know, we're sort of the elite who know what's going on in the world, and we know what you don't. And if you don't believe what we're telling you, then you've got your head up your arse, as Sizemore said. So they had that sense of arrogance about them. They had the logical fallacies down pat. The whole equation of correlation and causation being completely skewed. And it's so typical in the research that I've done of these conspiracy theories and the way people promote them. It's very, very unusual for me to actually be able to interact with folks like this in that direct of a way. I mean, I've often visited these conspiracy theory websites to see, you know, what exactly they're babbling about occasionally. Most recently, just the other day, Sizemore had mentioned chemtrails, and I was trying to figure out what exact chemical they believed was being sprayed in these so-called chemtrails. And of course, you don't find anything because none of these things have any details. They don't really have any evidence whatsoever, so it's impossible to find any of this stuff. You would think that if they actually were to develop some kind of critical thinking skills, they'd be able to figure out that if you don't tell people what exactly it is that's being sprayed, that people are going to start asking, well, if you don't know what's being sprayed, then how can you tell it's dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the logic doesn't hold together. But then again, if they had those critical thinking skills to begin with, they wouldn't be believing in these stupid conspiracy theories. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off topic here. And I can't help but laugh at that. I mean, I've heard it so many times before. I've heard it from so-called psychics. Well, if you don't believe in the powers, they're not going to do anything for you. Or if you don't believe in the powers, then it's because you don't believe enough, you know, and that sort of thing. And it's funny how all of these sort of tie together. When you think about, you know, the various issues that I talk about on this program the most, and I talk about religion a lot, I talk about psychics a lot, I talk about conspiracy theories, that sort of mindset a lot. And they really kind of all do have the sort of common threads. And that is the common thread of fear. Keep people afraid so they're malleable. In the case of psychics, maybe not so much, but certainly in the case of people who are promoting radical politics, or people who are trying to promote their religion, well, you know, you should be a Christian because you need to be afraid of hell, and that sort of thing. I mean, it's certainly not uncommon. And fear is a powerful motivator. If you manipulate people skillfully using fear, you can accomplish quite a lot. So it shouldn't be said that there's no concern of people using these tactics. I think we all remember 9/11. And I think we all remember in the immediate aftermath of 9/11 how people played upon the fear that was created by this terrorist attack. And no, Sizemore, this was not carried out by the Bush administration. But the fear that was created by these terrorist attacks to enact the so-called Patriot Act. Yes, it's very clear that by appealing to people's fears, you can affect their behavior. I think the Patriot Act is just one good example. Conspiracy theories are yet another one. As is the turning of people to these so-called mediums and psychics. It's all part of the same thing. It's all connected. Anyway, I'm running out of time, so I got to go ahead and go for now. Thanks for listening to this babble. And as always, the email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. Don't forget the live show, which is Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And as always, this is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next Wednesday.